content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello there. This is Fred Brack reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974 and underwriting our podcast for over 15 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. And now we return to the February 2022 edition of Our State, celebrating North Carolina. The theme this month is the annual Made in NC Awards, and that's where we're going to begin, and we'll be talking about the rest of the podcast today. Made in NC Awards, Our State magazine's Made in NC Awards recognize talented North Carolina artisans and craftspeople, chefs and confectioners. Top honors in 2021 went to a pasta maker in Durham, a potter in Charlotte, a winemaker in Rhonda, leather workers in Sanford, and a woodworker in Salisbury. Now is the time for you to meet the state's top award winners and honorable mentions. Craft, drink, food, home garden, and style. At Home State Made in Stanford, Ivy and Todd Childers hammer their love into North Carolina into every leather bag and accessory that comes out of their shop. So this is a photo of them with a hammer hammering this little North Carolina flag down on their work. Overleaf, we see the same thing we did on the cover, a close-up of ravioli. It says, in Durham, an Italian pasta maker has adapted one of North Carolina's favorite dishes, pimento cheese, into a delicacy, pimento cheese ravioli, that took the overall top honor in this year's Made in NC Awards. Food and overall winner, Melina's Fresh Pasta in Durham, filled with love. At a homey specialty pasta shop in Orange County, the South meets Southern Italy in a pimento cheese ravioli that would make any grandma proud. What Carmela Alvaro Reamer remembers most about her childhood family dinner table are the flavors and fragrances. As a first-generation Italian-American, she was surrounded by lively table banter and multi-course meals rooted in the Southern Italian tradition. Her parents, Giuseppa and Giuseppe, prepared each dish with ingredients fresh from the family garden. A red sauce made from plump tomatoes, crunchy zucchini blossom fritters, cheesy zucchini parmesan, and salty home-cured salami, all washed down with a strong kick of Giuseppe's homemade red wine. We never went out to eat in restaurants, Carmela says. Everything was homemade. Like many children of immigrants, Carmela didn't fully grasp then how much her family's cultural and culinary imprint would shape her life. But the strong connection between family and food took root, and as owner of Melina's Fresh Pasta in Durham, she now helps Triangle area families enjoy authentic Italian meals in their own homes. Drawing on the home-cooked meals of her youth, Carmela replicates offerings passed down from generations of Alvaros, and also invents new combinations of flavors and ingredients inspired by her life in the South. It's a nod to both her ancestral homeland and her adopted home state of North Carolina. She created the signature pimento cheese ravioli that won our state's 2021 Made in NC Award in the food category. On a Monday morning, Carmela is inside her shop, packaging wholesale orders and ordering ricotta impastata, Durham wheat flour, and other ingredients that she uses at Melina's. Located in Durham's Lakewood neighborhood, the store, which she opened in 2017, looks like a cozy bungalow from the street with its red and white striped awnings. The scent of garlic is detectable even before you step inside. It's here that Carmela and her crew crank out a dizzying array of fresh ravioli, sauces, and prepared meals. Their use of fresh ingredients has garnered a loyal following of customers who snap up Molina's authentic Italian fare at the Triangle's Weaver Street Market locations and at farmers markets in Carrboro, Chapel Hill, Durham, Hillsborough, and Raleigh. Carmela's most popular ravioli flavors are fig and gorgonzola, spinach and cheese, pierogi, asiago, rosemary, and lemon ricotta. We offer many of the traditional flavors, but being from the South, I'm also inspired by what's local, she says. We've done country ham and collards ravioli, and sweet corn and mascarpone. We also do a Utica Greens ravioli in honor of my upstate New York connections. Carmela's path from her family's spirited dinner table to a pasta shop on the Triangle was circuitous. Born and raised near Syracuse, New York, she studied political science at Colgate University and later landed corporate and nonprofit jobs in Washington, D.C. and Durham, where she did remote sales for a software company. The job gradually became less than fulfilling, and Carmela began to think about pursuing a more meaningful and rewarding career. Since arriving in North Carolina, she'd noticed a paucity of authentic Italian fare. So, seeking a reconnection to her homeland, she booked a trip to Bologna, Italy, to take a pasta-making class. Once she arrived and explained her lineage and motivations for signing up, the instructor took her under his wings, teaching her time-honored techniques for egg pasta, tortellini, lasagna, bolognese, and other classics. During her stay, the elderly women from whom she rented a room learned why Carmela was there and gifted her a hand-turned wood mattarello, or pasta rolling pin, that today hangs in a place of honor inside Molina's Fresh Pasta. When Carmela returned to the States, she kept her sales job but began putting her newfound skills to the test. Working out of her home in 2010, she produced small batches of ravioli to sell at farmers markets. The delicious creations that took hours to make wound up selling out in minutes. 7 years later, she moved production out of her detached two-car garage and into her current storefront on Chapel Hill Road. She began offering pasta-making classes and joined a growing Italian-American community in the Triangle that launched the annual Festa Italiana Raleigh, now held each September. When COVID-19 shuttered many businesses, Carmela feared that demand for fresh pasta would plummet. The opposite happened. People began cooking at home more often, seeking appetizing alternatives to frozenware and cookie-cutter takeouts. We never slowed down, she says. Carmela has been strategic about foraging partnerships with area vendors and suppliers, favoring those whose aesthetics aligns with hers. She's invited the Parlor Ice Cream Shop to produce its tiramisu flavor year-round so that she could consistently offer it in her store. She sells imported EXAU olive oil produced by a third-generation Calabrian family. And she uses the sweet Italian sausage made by Durham's woman-owned first-hand foods for Molina's popular take-and-bake lasagna and spicy sausage sauce. Meanwhile, she's quietly paying things forward for new waves of immigrants and refugees seeking opportunity and sanctuary on our shores. Through Church World Service, she met and hired a Syrian refugee, an accomplished chef in his home community, to work at the shop until he was able to learn English and land a cooking position at a local restaurant. He eventually opened his own restaurant. Molina is a godsend for gourmands whose discriminating tastes exceed their ambitions in the kitchen. But for those ready to embark on their own Italian food-making journey, Carmela has published two cookbooks, Authentic Homemade Pasta, Recipes for Mastering Cut, Shaped, Stuffed, Extruded, and Flavored Pastas, and Homemade Ravioli Made Simple, 50 Mix-and-Match Recipes for the Best Filled Pastas. When Carmela learned that her pimento cheese ravioli had won the top Made in North Carolina award, she felt a certain vindication. Here in the South, people have very strong opinions about pimento cheese, so it wasn't a top seller, she says, but I kept making it because it's one of my favorites. Running a bustling business is a 24/7 job, yet friends recreating the joys and flavors are, I'm sorry, yet Carmela also finds time to cook for family and friends, recreating the joys and flavors of her childhood at her current home in North Carolina. She invites friends for bowls of pasta carbona and platters of bracciola in tomato sauce. For vegan friends, she's adapted her sister's recipe for caponata. I love hosting my friends and cooking for my extended family, she says. Food and hospitality go hand in hand. Whether you're an Italian-American immigrant or a Southern grandmother, we show affection through food. Written by Bridget Booher, a freelance writer based in Hillsboro. Melina's Fresh Pasta is at 2717 Chapel Hill Road in Durham, and they have a website, melinaspasta.com. And now, to move on to the craft category, Julie Wiggins Pottery in Charlotte. Fancy and functional. Her porcelain pieces may look like works of art, but Julie Wiggins teapots are ready for any occasion. Written by Jen Tota McGivney. Imagine a set of porcelain, blue and white. Likely you picture elegant china, the kind that's tucked away in a hutch until a fancy occasion and special company beckon them at the table. As a kid, Julie Wiggins always wanted to know what these pieces of porcelain felt like, to see how they look up close. She hated being told, "No, these are too special to hold." To Wiggins, no moment is more special than now, even if this moment finds you in your pajamas, clutching your morning tea, or bleary-eyed after a long day. She feels that these occasions deserve porcelain that feels good in your hand and appeals to your eye, that honors the most special moment, now, and celebrates your special guest, you. "I think we do these objects an injustice by not using them every day," she says. This is why Wiggins makes another kind of fine blue and white porcelain. Her pieces are meant for daily use, even and especially during the most ordinary moments. She learned to create these pieces by studying ceramics all over the world, in China, Morocco, and Spain. Yet, they're also love letters to the beauty and textures of home. "I drew from the nature and landscapes of North Carolina," Wiggins says. "I grew up on the intracoastal waterway, and I don't remember a time when I wasn't at the beach. Sand is one of my first texture memories. I draw from a lot of that, the landscape, the birds, the egrets. I draw from all of them. I didn't know that all of these animals and landscapes from my childhood that would make such an impact on things that I make today." Her teapot, the winner of our state's Made in NC Award for Craft, is an especially beloved piece. Look closely and you'll read her life story. You'll find the seven treasures of Buddhism in the repeated textual pattern within each petal. Inspired by Wiggins' time in China, spent studying ceramics in traditional Ming Dynasty studios. You'll see the blue of the Carolina coast in the colors of the petals and lid. You'll see her background as a dancer in the precise alignment of the spout, lid, and handle. An arabesque in porcelain, which allows the piece to pour perfectly without trips. This piece, uniquely Wiggins, is a personal one. It's also her favorite one to make. "I love the connection of the teapot to history," she says. "You can find the teapot in almost every culture. It was the way that people came together midday to discuss the day or to banter back and forth, whether they were the Chinese men playing mahjong in the little bodega or the women in Britain having high tea." Until recently, Wiggins lived in Charlotte, in a home tucked into tall trees. There she converted the full basement into a studio filled with kilns, drying racks, shelves holding porcelain pieces, and two cats, Trixie and Smokey, who expertly maneuvered around them. There was the flower garden out back, but Wiggins brought that inside, too. Blooms inspired the designs that she draws on vases and mugs. There's a picture here of the teapot. It's classic, except the spout sticks straight up. It doesn't curve down at all. I mean, when I say straight up, I would say it's 30 degrees off the vertical. And it's obviously fatter where it's attached to the pot itself, and it comes out to a knife even spout. But I guess the angle is just cut perfectly. Looks like about 45 degrees to stop the dripping. And it has a little lid on the top with some flares on it, a pretty handle. The teapot itself, when you look at it, what you see is thin blue squares that are rounded at the edge. So they're sort of a square shape, but they're rounded at the edge. And each square where it's rounded goes into the center of the next one, and it goes from 90 degrees to 180, 180 to 270, etc., around the edge. And it divides the center of each one of these rounded squares into an odd shape in the center, which is like triangle up, triangle right, triangle left, triangle down, and then there's a large blue dot in the center. And in the sections that are then carved out between the circle and the curved portion of the other circle in the midside, there are slashes made into the porcelain itself, which makes it look particularly nice. Also would help with the gripping, I'm sure. Wiggins is a big believer in the power of handmade. To use a handmade piece encourages us to slow down, she says, to use objects as mindfully as they were created. Every pot and dish in Wiggins' kitchen is handmade. If you visit for dinner, she'll share stories about each of them. Each piece reminds her of its artist. Each brings a bit of a person's soul into her home. For her, ceramics aren't just pretty objects. They're opportunities to connect with the person who created them and to connect with others through conversations that these objects spark. These connections become more important to Wiggins during the isolation of the pandemic. Sometimes, when she felt lonely, she'd receive messages from people who told her that using her mugs or teapots provided joy during a hard time, and using these pieces almost made them feel like they were sharing tea with her. My work is about connection, Wiggins says. Especially during COVID, I did a lot of research about the damage that can be done by not having that human connection. A 20-second hug can release a stressor cycle. I like to think that people will hold these objects for 20 seconds or more, and maybe that can happen then as well. North Carolina continues to pull her west. She's moving to just outside Penland School of Craft. There she'll have a larger studio, a bigger garden, and even a showroom. And there she'll return to the place where she first studied ceramics at 19 years old, the place where she learned that art would become her life, the place that blew my heart wide open, she says. She's eager to learn how the Blue Ridge will inspire her next pieces. While her travels and studies continue to take her around the world, North Carolina always calls her home. I had no idea I grew up in the most beautiful place, she says, and I grew up in a state that's so rich in history of ceramics. Our first pottery settlers were in the middle of the state, in Seagrove, in the mid-1700s, and people still travel from all over the world to come and buy objects that are made here. Anywhere you live in the state, people have a bit of an education and appreciation for ceramics. Unlike other places, I can't imagine living anywhere else. To learn more about Julie Wiggins Pottery, visit juliewigginspottery.com. And I think we have time for one more. Drink. I guess you pronounce this Piccione Vineyards in Rhonda, Bravo, Wilkes County. The winemaking traditions of a family-owned vineyard in northwestern North Carolina stretch back to New York City in the early 20th century, and before that to the fertile hills of Italy. Written by Ed Williams. In the foothills of the brushy mountains in a Wilkes County valley that moonshiners once called home, Piccione Vineyards, that's P-I-C-C-I-O-N-E, Piccione Vineyards has sunk Italian family roots deep into mineral-rich soils. Below a hillside patio surrounded by roses, a row upon row of manicured vines feeding Pinot Grigio, Vermentino, Mont- Castelpolicciano and Sangiovese grapes. Beyond that are the breathtaking Blue Ridge Mountains, one of the oldest ranges in the world. A recent addition to Picchioni Vineyard's portfolio is Vino di Lusso, which earned the top spot in the drink category of our state's 2021 Made in North Carolina Awards. We wanted to make a handcrafted product from our Chardonnay grapes, says manager Haley Klepke, noting Italy's long tradition of producing sparkling wines. Picchioni hopes that Vino di Lusso will find a favored niche in the pantheon of Italian-style wines that conjure the romance of Puglia, Veneto, Abruzzo, and Tuscany. Planted in 2015, Picchioni Vineyards is a relatively newcomer to the North Carolina wine scene, but its Italian-American owner, cardiovascular surgeon William Picchioni, is hardly a newcomer to wine. His vineyard is part of a century-old family tradition that stretches back to 1921, when his Sicilian grandfather Giuseppe left Italy, boarded a steamship to Ellis Island, and settled in Brooklyn, New York, where he worked in the garment industry. In his spare time, Giuseppe dabbled in home winemaking, as was the custom with many new European arrivals. His old-world hand press, the small oak barrels, the manual bottling machine, all of these are part of La Nostra Storia, the family history, that's etched into William Picchioni's memory. Today, that winemaking tradition continues at his 100-acre estate that boasts 30 acres in vine. William and his two sons, Billy and Stephen, have already begun expansion plans, aware that additional wineries in the area are just a few years away. Picchioni Vineyards is situated in Swan Creek, a federally designated wine subregion that's set into a larger, federally reorganized, or rather recognized wine region, the Yadkin Valley. Such federal designations speak to the unique geography, topography, and climate that informs a region's grape growing. The sloping land invites abundant sunshine, the mountain ranges limit rain and storms approaching from the west, and the Yadkin and Catawba rivers mitigate high temperatures. Those rivers and the gaps in the mountains encourage steady breezes that dry the moisture in the vines, preventing fungus and rot. And the soil is a combination of loam, mica, and schist, the products of eons of elevation, degrading, and settling in the valley. As such, it drains well, which is a godsend for any grape grower. Picchioni Vineyards is a key puzzle piece in an emerging wine mecca. Swan Creek represents the largest cluster of vineyards and wineries, 7 within a 2 to 10 minute drive in North Carolina. Several more vineyard wineries are under construction there, but already the intersection of Interstate 77 and U.S. Highway 421 is a destination for visitors from across the southeast, customers who are apt to enjoy Picchioni's line of wines, including its newest addition. With Vino di Lusso, Picchioni wanted to elevate its inaugural sparkling wine, crafting it in a French style called Méthode Champenoise, a labor-intensive, time-consuming process that sees a second fermentation inside each bottle. The wine is made from Chardonnay grapes, which are grown in vineyards worldwide, and commonly leveraged for sparkling wine. At Picchioni, the fruit was harvested 2 to 3 weeks earlier than normal to preserve the tart acidity necessary in great sparklers. And what is the méthode champenoise? In any first fermentation, yeast devours grape sugars, throwing off carbon dioxide and alcohol. But in a second fermentation, bottles of still wine are inoculated with more yeast and a carefully calibrated amount of sugar, the liqueur de tirage. The wine is aged, sediment is removed, and a small amount of sugar or dosage is added before final corking. But this time, the expelled carbon dioxide from the second fermentation is trapped inside the bottle, hence the bubbles when opened and poured. To produce this sparkler, Picchioni turned to Mark Frizzlowski, winemaker at Childress Vineyards in Lexington. As a custom crush specialist for about 50 boutique wineries across the state, Frizzlowski's meticulous approach to the craft was well known to the folks at Piccioni. Frizzlowski describes the wine as a classic dry sparkler, crisp and clean, with aromas of toast and hints of pear, green apple, and lemon. Sparkling wine, particularly when done in the traditional French method, offers special challenges but sublime rewards. You have to anticipate what this will be 2 years out. You can't have too much dosage or too little, Frizzlowski says, explaining the delicate balance among the acids, yeasts, and sugars. For centuries, sparkling wine's fizzy fun factor has buoyed family milestones, engagements, weddings and anniversaries, graduations, first jobs and career advancements, babies, baptisms, empty nestings, housewarmings, and mortgage burnings, birthdays and holidays. The universal drink of celebration is visceral and visual, exploding and overflowing in abundant effervescence. Being a doctor, William Piccioni's favorite Italian wine toast is in vino salute, in wine is health. And in the health of Piccioni vineyards, it seems assured. The young vines, first harvested in 2013, will mature, their roots sinking deeper and deeper in search of nutrients. 30 more acres are to be added, perhaps with new grape varieties. A winemaking facility is planned on site, along with a new tasting room. And just down the road, more wineries and vineyards will open, added to Swan Creek's allure in years to come. The maturing wines will take on additional nuance and complexity. More than a century ago, Piccioni's grandfather arrived in American soil and continued his family winemaking traditions. More than a century later, in the shadow of the Blue Ridge Mountains, La Nostra Storia endures. Piccioni Vineyards is on Cedar Forest Road in Rhonda, North Carolina, which is in the northwestern portion of the state. They have a website, of course, PiccioniVineyards.com. We only have about 1 minute left, so that's really not enough time to read an article. Let me read a couple of advertisements here. This first one says, A Night Under the Stars. Snuggle up with your favorite loved ones for A Night Under the Stars at the Bear Dark Sky Observatory, located at the Mayland Earth to Sky Park in Burnsville, North Carolina. Offering both community viewing nights and private rentals, the observatory showcases some of the darkest skies in the eastern United States. Guests can peer through the largest public telescope in North Carolina and sit back in zero-gravity chairs and take in the Milky Way and all the stars above. Enjoy a two-hour tour of the night sky with the Space Rangers and learn about the planets, the moons, and deep space objects. Tickets and more information, visit mayland.edu/observatory. Well, that's about all the time we have for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you enjoyed it and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Our State Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org, or at iTunes. If you have any comments or questions, please call the studios 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.